Flawedcast Extra Shots. Civil War Movie Review.
Flawedcast Get in the Arena.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. All our esteemed Flawedcast listeners want to welcome and thank everybody for tuning in for this brand new special episode. We're going to be talking about the new movie at the theater. It's called Civil War. But before I get into that, I want to give a quick explanation. Many of you reached out to us last week, asked where the episode was. And what had happened is the missus and I had lost power for 3 days. And in that time, our basement flooded, which is where we, that's the Flawedcast International headquarters, and that's my man cave, that's my office where I work every day, and so it's been just very challenging for us to get everything in back in order as much as possible, and so feel like we have, and we're in a good spot. That's why we're bringing this episode to you, but thanks for everyone for reaching out and expressing concern. I do want to remind everybody, you can find us anywhere podcasts are, under Flawedcast CLE, under there at Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Breaker, Anchor.fm. You can find us on the video platform Rumble, all under Flawed Inc. You can find us on the Project Mockingbird social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Getter, and Gab, all under Flawed Inc. There is a link in the description. You can get a copy of my book, Smith's Heart of Man and Repair Manual. And our email is Flawed Inc. CLE@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, reach out to us there. But that being said, I'm going to get into this extra shot. And the missus and I saw Civil War last night, and I have a review of it. I've been kind of in anticipation of this, seeing what other outlets have been saying about this movie. And I've watched it, and I've come to disagree with most of them. And I'm going to get into that. And just kind of a brief history or background of this movie. This is Civil War, as the name of the movie, directed by Alex Garland. And the guy has actually had a hand in whether it be directing or writing a lot of movies that I actually really like. Ex Machina, which you've not seen, I highly recommend. It's about the horrors of AI and artificial intelligence. It's frightening. He also was a writer for the movie 28 Days Later, then I think 28 Weeks Later, but that was a revolutionary zombie post-apocalyptic movie. And then movie Dredd, which was based on the comics, the Judge Dredd series. So he's familiar with this dystopic post-apocalyptic kind of field, and this movie is definitely falls into that, but this movie was produced by a studio called A24. Now, A24, if you've not heard, they're not like, you know, Warner Brothers or Paramount. They're not one of the big guys, but they have a niche. And their niche is pretty much they produce low budget, meaning that the budgets are very low, but they are highbrow and philosophical, primarily horror films. It's just interesting if you've ever seen any of their movies. One of their movies I really enjoy is called It Comes at Night. It's kind of, it doesn't allude to it, but it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic or maybe like a zombie kind of, you don't really know. It's, like I said, it's very philosophical, very highbrow, but it's an excellent movie. It's just, it makes you think, and I really enjoy that kind of entertainment. I like being challenged. I like having to think and having to make up my own conclusions, but this is A24's first step into big budget, wide release for their studio. And it's just kind of interesting to me that they would choose a movie like this. Just the name alone, Civil War, in a lot of regards tells you what you need to know about this movie. But that being said, I just thought it was a real interesting choice. Now, the basic premise of this film is that there is a civil war and that four journalists travel cross country to try to interview the president, it's just the journey of these four people and what they encounter along the way and how it's supposed to change them and how it shows a changing landscape in the country, which you certainly can see that. And I'm just going to come out and say this, there's going to be spoilers. So if you don't want to hear it, that's fine. My spoilers I'm going to give aren't necessarily to give anything away, but there is a lot of predictive programming in this film. If you have, I believe, just even a rudimentary understanding of current events and understand how civil wars, how coups, how uprisings, like real uprisings occur, there's a lot of subtlety in this movie. So what I'm going to do, I decided I'm just going to start with the things like I enjoyed, and then I'm going to kind of get into things that if you are discerning and if you are mindful and paying attention, you're going to pick up, and how I believe this is a warning. I did a extra shot of a few months ago about a movie called Leave the World Behind that was produced by Michelle and Big Mike Obama. And this movie, Civil War, to me, similar kind of positioning, and it has a very similar preconditioning element involved. But I'll touch on that in a minute. So there's a lot of kind of similarities, and there's this idea being pushed out as far as disaster and civil war and things that we are going to discuss here in a moment. So let me get into things that I actually enjoyed. So good things. And as I describe this, I'm going to get more into the details of the film, the cast and everything as we go. And then Alex Garland, I believe, vision and purpose for this movie. But the things that I like, first, this is a very jarring portrayal of what a modern day civil war in America might look like. It is very visceral in a lot of places. And I certainly know it left an impression on my wife, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not. A lot of the imagery, I believe, is a very potentially accurate and horrifying glimpse into what a potential outcome could be in this country. And certainly throughout the world, we've seen these types of things. So it's very realistic. It's very jarring. The movie does look amazing. There is a lot of care taken place with the cinematography, the scouting, the locations. There is a lot of amazing, amazing shots. And it's a juxtaposition because, and often it shows the beauty of our country displayed against the worst of humanity, what the worst of our country is. There is a real authenticity in the fighting segments or the war segments, probably easily off the top of my head, one of the most accurate that I've seen, at least as far as my non-combative participating self can understand and relate to. And then a lot of the violence and a lot of the imagery was absolutely haunting. And I say that not to glorify or to promote things that are hard to look on. I say that because if you're going to tell a tale like this, if you're looking at it, especially as a deterrent, to be as authentic as you possibly can, it's necessary to tell if you are a cautionary tale of what could happen and how to avoid it. So those were some things that I just thought were amazing, and this film did a really, really good job of. Now, if I were to compare this film, it's taken elements from a lot of movies that I really admire and appreciate. The Road, starring Viggo Mortensen, is one of them. A lot of the imagery in that film at times mirrors what the quote-unquote protagonist experience and go through. Behind Enemy Lines, it was a film in the early 2000s that starred Gene Hackman and Owen Wilson about the war in Serbia and Kosovo in the 90s. A lot of that imagery harkens back to a lot of the scenes that are portrayed here. Hotel Rwanda, which is based on the Hutu and the Tutsi slaughter in Rwanda in the 1990s, I believe it was 1996 to be exact. Full Metal Jacket, Stanley Kubrick classic, certainly dealing with war and journalism. But the one movie that I kept seeing and drawing comparisons to, Apocalypse Now. And this is where I'm going to start to get into the preconditioning and the pre-programming. So Apocalypse Now was very loosely based on a book written by Joseph Conrad called Heart of Darkness. And that's, I believe, largely what they attempt to do in this movie. It's a journey of, I don't want to say innocence lost, but it's a journey of self-discovery and going into a societal heart of darkness that is supposed to leave a profound mark on a person in a way that permanently alters them, and in a profound way, and in a significant way. The biggest problem is it falls short, and not to compare it to Apocalypse Now, just this journey, the character's development isn't there, and for the reasons I'm about to get into right now, the movie sordidly lacks in being empathetical to everything. So first and foremost, they provide no reason for the Civil War. Why are different factions in America seceding and splintering off and fighting one another? There is no reason. There is no reason for that. And there's three main factions. There's the traditional USA faction, if you will. That's what I'm calling it. There's the Florida and the North and South Carolina alliance, which is briefly mentioned. And then there's what they call the Western forces, which is Texas and California. Now, one thing I've not heard people talk about is why Texas and California would be joining forces. Politically, socially, perhaps morally, they seem diametrically opposed, but the great unifier in all things is money. And we do know that California and Texas alone have a GDP that rivals most small countries. So with these two states seceding and joining forces, you control a large portion of what comes in and what goes out of the country on ports. Texas has their own, you know, military, basically. California has military bases all throughout and personnel to man it. And it's a logical sense if you remove what is being presented in regards to political identity. There's probably a lot more on a economical level for those two states to gain to combine. And that's just my thought. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. But that's what I came across. Now, the interesting thing to me is that when I think about both Texas and California is that under proper leadership, both of these states could individually be their own governing force, meaning that they can operate outside or independently of America, of the United States of America. And I think that is ultimately the unifier that brings them together. Now, when you look at it at that approach, it does make a lot of sense. One thing I do want to say is, you know, the main fight scene is the main combat scene is at the end where there's a siege on Washington, D.C. They blow up. Remember, this is I'm not doing spoiler alerts. This is, spoiling things. They blow up the Lincoln Memorial. They apprehend the Washington Monument. There is an attempt to obliterate traditional American values, if you will, which that's just what I saw. There was a lot of people that on this journey that the protagonists, who I'm going to get into in a moment, come across, and they are much like in that Leave the World Behind film, portrayed to be these MAGA, you know, Trump supporting Neanderthals with their guns, and you know, and it's just a very stereotypical thing that it's obvious to me. They're trying to portray a picture versus these other armies that are very ethnically diverse, and that's great. I don't have a problem with that. But when it's a juxtaposition that is purposely being displayed, you have to take note of that. Now, there are subtle but obvious differences. Once again, the MAGA, the gun-toting MAGA, flag-waving Americans. And there's a very decisive scene at the beginning of this movie where you see somebody, and it's in the blink of an eye, but somebody is on the outskirts of this crowd that these journalists are reporting on, and they grab an American flag. They run right into this crowd as a suicide bomber and just take the lives of dozens of people. That is an optic that you can't ignore. And, you know, some of the other things that I notice is that there's this immigrant or this refugee type camp scenario. It's like a tent city, and it's like the one of the only places where they find peace. You know, these sojourners or these people on this journey, it's like, oh, we find peace. We find refuge here amongst these people that, if you look at what the news today is portraying, very possible to assume that they're migrants that here illegally. One of the things that I saw, that it was only in a couple scenes, people wearing blue vests and blue helmets, which signifies UN occupation to whatever degree in America, which, you know, if you've heard, we've talked in the past about the UN Strong City Initiative. Just look at that. I'm not going to get into that, but there are these things that are setting the stage. And there's a foreboding scenario of unease throughout the entire film. There is a sense that everywhere you go, there is martial law, that there is rationing of gasoline, there is rationing of food, rationing of electricity, and even to the point where they're trying to get gas on their journey, and they're like, yeah, we'll give you $300 for half a tank of gas and 2 5-gallon barrels. And they're like, you know, America cash is no good here. And they said, well, we have Canadian, you know. So it's furthering this idea that the downfall of America is at hand. The interesting thing is that with them offering no real reason, no tangible, no logical reason why America would be at war with one another, leads me to assume that these creators believe that it's a foregone conclusion, that this is going to happen no matter what. That in and of itself is quite startling to me. Now, I want to talk about the four main protagonists, if you will, which are a very interesting lot. And I've heard interviews with Alex Garland, the director, who said that, you know, basically they chose journalists because journalists are supposed to be the harbinger of truth, and they're supposed to, have a standard of being non-biased. They're just there to report the news. And I can certainly tell you from my experience as a professional journalist for a couple of years, that is not the case. It just seemed like an odd choice to me, if you were going to have an unbiased group, that you would choose journalists. It just seemed so odd. I mean, you know, a family, a middle American family, or some soldiers, or, it just seemed like there were so many other options to choose for an unbiased look at what was going on. But let me get into this. So it stars Kristen Dunst as Lee Smith, who is a renowned war photojournalist from Colorado. She is said to be the youngest ever member of Magnum Photo's operative. The character first name is a reference to the famed World War II photojournalist Lee Miller, which sets her up to be like a righteous, stoic, stalwart person. And once again, the subtleties throughout this movie are everywhere, but you have to be discerning. One of the things that they say about her is that she got her fame as being the first and the main photographer from the Antifa massacre. That's all they refer to it as, and it's very ambiguous. You could think that either way. Did Antifa slaughter a bunch of people, or were a bunch of people slaughtered by Antifa? I don't know. It's very ambiguous, much like everything else in this movie is. And she is this road-hardened, you know, war journalist who has seen it all and done everything, and photographed all over the world these horrible atrocities. And, you know, at one point she makes this comment. She's talking to one of the other people that, I've traveled the world to take photographs of these horrible things and hoping that the sacrifice of my life to do that would stop these events from happening here. It's a thoughtful notion, but to me, with the character how she is, it just comes across as just extremely self-aggrandizing and very sanctimonious. But that's the hubris that accompanies these characters. A gentleman named Robert Maura, who played Joel, who works for Reuters. He's a journalist from Florida. He's also Lee's colleague. You know, the impetus of these people going to D.C. to interview the president is his brainchild. He's just hellbent, no matter the cost, of going and getting an interview from this from the president, no matter what, and how it's going to. He believes change everything. The interesting thing is when the moment arises, he completely on purpose fumbles, making everything that you go through with these characters meaningless. And that's kind of just to reiterate the thought of this movie. One of the main thoughts of this movie, there's a person named Callie Spani, I don't know if I pronounce that right, but her name's Jesse Collins. She is an inspiring young photographer from Missouri who accompanies Lee and Joel on their journey. Now, she is intended to be the Martin Sheen character in this film. However, she is a constant irritant, not only to Lee, but to the audience as well. There is no growth in this girl. You can see moments where she gets freaked out, but if you consider that Heart of Darkness journey, even if you just look at Martin Sheen's performance throughout Apocalypse Now, there is a tangible change and there is a difference that he goes through. And I wish that she would have. I think it would have added so much more gravitas to the film, and it would have made the sacrifices and the journeys and the things that they endured that much more palpable and that much more meaningful. There was a gentleman named Stephen McKinney Anderson, who was a veteran journalist who was also Lee's mentor. His name's Sammy, and it's not really said, but you get the feeling that this guy cut his teeth during the civil rights movement of the 60s. He's from that age group, and you know, just his comment and wisdom and his exposition really just, I think he's really the only character that grounds this film. And then the last, you know, person stars Nick Offerman, who plays the president, a dictatorial president currently serving out his third term, who is no shame, no, this isn't meant to be obvious, is a Trumpian type person. And Nick Offerman famously played Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation. He's only in the film for two scenes, and then you hear him on the radio giving exposition throughout, but he's portrayed as what a lot of the left-leaning progressive media is ascribing to Trump, and I say this not as a Trump supporter. I say this as it is what it is. And ultimately, the thing I think that this movie does really well is making a potentially accurate, real life on screen as much as it can be, depiction of what a possible civil war in this country might look like. What this movie does poorly is add any kind of notion to make us care. Why are they fighting? Why do we care about these people, these journalists who are supposed to be the heroes? There is nothing about them that I feel like is attractive or heroic or even that stalwart about any of them. Maybe Sammy, but I think that's just because he's older. Ultimately, for me, what this movie does is paint a picture. It pre-programs what, if you listen to any news, if you read any kind of mainstream outlet from Fox to CNN, it's this idea of moving towards a civil war in America, which I'm adamantly against. I don't see a reason for it. We see scenarios playing out in our country that, you know, if Trump were to win again, we've had such a huge invasion on the border that terror cells are going to raise up and just annihilate people. We see if he loses that with all the tension going on in Russia and Ukraine, and now with Iran and Israel trading jabs and Russia being an ally with Iran, there's a two-fronted war. We see the great potential of a lot of these people coming across the border, being able to enlist in the army, granting them citizenship, but we really don't know where their loyalties lie. And it's, once again, this idea going back to that UN Strong City Initiative, where the real potential of an event like this occurring, it's not unfathomable. And I believe that's the seed that this movie tries to plant. And, you know, we've talked about it many times on this podcast. There is this Luciferic belief that when you show people what the plan is and they accept it and they buy into it, that they derive power over you or over them. And that is certainly what I believe this is purposely trying to do. I've seen so many reviews, so many things saying, oh, it's not political. They were careful not to offend anybody. And what I would say is that you need to be discerning and looking at things. I should have taken notes. These are just some things I wrote down late last night. I'm a little under the weather, if you can hear, if you can tell. But these are just some things I jotted down last night that really struck me. The imagery was shocking at a lot of points, and certainly my wife was affected by it. However, we just have to keep in mind that this and everything that this stands for is to bring down America. With them portraying, you know, people who wave the flag as suicide bombers, that the president, this Trumpian guy, is evil. And then you certainly see throughout, once again, destroying the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, and even the president who is killed by a black lady who is, you know, head of this unit. It looks like a special forces unit. It's so odd to me, the placement of everything. And I believe this is a component potentially in the step of removing this country as a beacon of light throughout the world. And it's certainly, I believe, a goal of the New World Order, this Antichrist governmental system. I did have a scripture come to my mind. I just want to read it real quick, and then I'm going to close it because I've gone a lot longer than I wanted to and expected to. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 from the Amplified Bible. It says, "And you, he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgressions and sin." This is the important part, verse 2. "In which you once walked, you were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purpose of God. Among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governing by the sinful self, indulging the desire of human nature without the Holy Spirit and the impulses of the sinful mind. We were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind." And the reason I shared that is because it's very obvious as you look at this movie and how it almost identically mirrors so much of the news right now, that the prince of the power of the air, or Satan, is who is running things, who is ruling things. And he's using things and people to help his kingdom come. We are trying to spread light and spread the kingdom of Christ and the gospel. And there are people who are doing the same in their view with the kingdom of darkness. So all in all, it's an interesting movie. I wouldn't tell anybody to go see it or not to go see it. That's a choice you have to make. But I think if you go in, be discerning and not take a naive approach as far as like what I've seen so many political pundits on both sides of the aisle take. And, you know, certainly, you know, there's a large portion of people in this movie that are just completely oblivious. They're like, yeah, the war's going on, but we don't care. And, you know, they're just having a good old time. And, you know, you see that. So there's a lot of depictions of different groups and different types of people right now. And I believe it's just pre-programming. So that being said, thanks for tuning in this week. Please share if you got any value out of this. If it made you think, whatever, just go ahead and share this. You can find us anywhere podcasts are, on Flawcast CLE. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Breaker, Anchor.fm. You can find us on the video platform Rumble, all under Flawed Inc. You can find us on the Project Mockingbird social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Getter, and Gab, all under Flawed Inc. In the description, there's a link below to get a copy of my book, Smith's Heart of Man Repair Manual. And our email is flawedinccle@gmail.com. And in closing, to quote Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses, what is so civil about war anyway?